In a world where achievements and accolades motivate us to do more and be more, we're often left wondering, is this really it?
Deep inside, you know there is more to life. You're ready to leave behind the old, push your way through, and claim the deeper life that's calling you.
That's where we excel.
We're your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak.
And this is the Soulful Leader Podcast.
Sit back and relax as we share the shortcuts we've uncovered to help you make shift happen. So welcome back to the Soulful Leader Podcast. Stephanie and I were having kind of a fascinating conversation about icebergs, and we wanted to bring that to the table today, have some fun with that. One of our teachers has an image of an iceberg, and we've been discussing that. And as leaders, what the heck does that have to do with leading, right? From a leader perspective, what we see on an iceberg, and you guys can picture the image of an iceberg, 90% of an iceberg is under the surface of the water. And we only see 10% of it. And we are trained as a culture, actually, not just as leaders, but as a culture, to look at that top 10% and find the solutions and fix the problems and do everything based on that top 10%. And yet it doesn't address the rest of that, the 90% of the iceberg. And how, as a culture, and especially for us as leaders, how do we manage that? What do we do with this whole level of stuff that we can't even see?
You know, and I think of, like, what is the underneath stuff? Like, what is that? You know, we know what the outer stuff is, you know, like, are we, you know, pretty enough? Are we doing the right things? Are we smart enough? Do we have the right job, the right relationship? Are we doing, you know, the best we can? We tend to measure our success by the external. And as a therapist, I mean, I just know there's so much going on underneath the surface. And I was related back to aches and pains because, yeah, I mean, the ache and the pain is that 10% that's above the surface, but there's so much underneath it. And we can be so hard on ourselves to try to fix it or to change it or to, and that underneath, just approaching one small piece going inward can flip that iceberg. Just one. So it's actually simple concept, but it's not easy. There's a lot there. And I know you and I were talking about that, right? It's like, we don't need to fix anything, actually. Like, it's right. Like, that's the thing. It's like, sometimes we're carrying so much internally that's not even ours. And it isn't about fixing it.
Right.
It's about being with it. Yeah.
It is about being with it. And that's such a strange concept for us, especially anyone who's in any kind of a leadership position. And we've talked about this before. It could be as a mother or as a sister or, you know, I mean, I'm not even talking about necessarily having a team. And I think it gets exponentially more when you do have a team. So what I
want, your team can also be your family too, right?
They can be, right? Your family, your friends. And the thing about it is when somebody comes to us and they have a challenge or a problem or an issue, our first instinct is to fix it. It's like we take it on and we want to fix it. And we do this for ourselves. Like that's how we've been trained to approach our lives, to be in our lives, is we're not trained to be in our lives. We're trained to do our lives, go and do and fix, and go and do and fix, and then rinse and repeat and sleep and go and do and fix, right?
And no one ever tired, right?
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It is.
Absolutely exhausting. And what if there, here's something to flip the iceberg. What if there is nothing to fix?
And nothing to figure out.
Yeah.
And nothing to do.
What the heck? Oh my God. Now you've gone too far, Stephanie.
And nowhere to go. I mean, that's part of what we've all been experiencing is just practicing how to be.
Talk to me about that, because that's a little beyond like, okay, there's no one to be, there's no one to do, there's nothing to like all of that stuff. It is a very common on a spiritual path, and it's not common in our outer world that we're talking about.
Oh, exactly. I mean, how many of us have valued our grades in the way of saying, why didn't I came home with an 80%. Why didn't I get 100? What did I do wrong? It's like, you got 80%. That's absolutely amazing. And I think, yeah, there's definitely space of saying, well, it's great that you want to grow and evolve, but also just looking at who are you as a being, as a person, and you're already enough. Like, there's actually nothing to fix. You've already come into this body absolutely perfect. But we start taking on all of these things from the outer world that tell us that we're not good enough, that tell us that we should be better. And so because we don't know how to work with it, we stuff it into our bodies. Mm-hmm. And when I mean stuff it, that's those thoughts, the stories, the beliefs, the feelings, the attitudes. Emotions are huge. Like, you know, we're like, oh, I can't cry right now in this movie. I'm in a public place. I can't cry. So we hold it in. And then you go home and you go, why do I have a headache? Because you held it in. It's like, what would be so traumatic if we just were human beings and felt in the moment? We wouldn't suppress it. It wouldn't come out in a way that's going to be harmful to ourselves or others. We would talk about it. We would share it. I mean, recently I just had a client of mine talk to me about grief, and she's a grief counselor. And she was just, you know, having a statement of saying how hard it was for her to hear some of the stories of people and that she just wanted to cry. And I said, well, you're a grief counselor, what would you tell your client? And she, you know, basically said, well, you're human, of course you're going to cry. I said, you're human, of course you're going to cry. And I think we try to figure things out instead of just listening, just being present. And holding space for that somebody else already knows the answer. What's that? The one of the podcasts we did about the questions, right?
Yeah.
It's being able to question. We already have the answers. So when you have the question, create the space to hear the answer. It's already inside you.
And I think, so I want to kind of rewind that a little bit of, when we go back to talking about there's nothing to do and holding that space. So in say, for example, you're the grief counselor that had, I mean, talk about somebody who's taking on a lot of other people's stuff, right? And a lot of us who don't have that training, we're going through the same thing because of what's going on our planet right now. So what do you do with that, when we say there's nothing to do, yet it's like, okay, what do I do? How do I hold that? And I would suggest that you don't have to hold it. You can be present to something. When we can be present to something and make space for it, and I'm going to give you guys an exercise of, it's a mindfulness practice. And this is something, again, it's a part of many spiritual traditions. So a mindfulness practice will allow you to, or set you up to learn how to be present to something without having to tell a story about it, without it having to fix it, without having to do anything with it, just learning to be present to it. And what that does is it then makes space. And that space will allow you, when one of the things Stephanie just mentioned is, you know, like getting to the question, is finding the question, making space for the answer. Instead of having to go search for it, it can just be there for you. So a simple mindfulness practice would be to literally take your pencil and feel it in your fingers, right? So if you take a pencil right now and pick it up and roll it around in your fingers and try and do it as slowly as possible, and feel every movement of your fingers and everything that needs to happen to roll that pencil. And as you're doing it, just be present to feeling what's going on and feeling that all the little motions that make that pencil actually roll. And if you can do that literally 30 seconds a day and then build that to maybe a minute a day and start to become more present. One of the things that Stephanie also mentioned was the feeling and how different our lives would be if we could feel. And now you're experiencing what it is to be in that moment and feel the pencil as you're actually rolling it and not having to do anything with it. Just be present to the feeling.
It's an excellent practice because our minds can get all over the place. They're like wild horses all over the place.
They are. And we talked about wild horses last week, right?
That's right. And that's great freedom if you're a wild horse, but not if your mind, and your mind is not your own anyway. Your mind is a collection of your genetic line and everything that's ever happened to you, your culture, where you're living and being. Like, it's not you. It's not you. They're like clouds passing by on the landscape. Only when we grab onto something and we identify with it, then it becomes us. And if you want more space, is to not name anything, not name it, not in the way of not identifying with it, of saying that's me or that's not me or that's, it's like, well, just allowing the awareness to be present to what's coming and going.
Yeah.
What's moving through you. It's like, it's just awareness. It's just awareness. Because you're so much more. And I know this can feel very like, okay, because our conditioned mind is like, I want a step-by-step process and an end result. That's what I want. So where are you going, Steph? Where are you going, Maren? And it's like, what if there was no beginning or ending? What if it was just a continuum? Like, I think that's one of the things that just fascinated me about Sable Island is that when the horses died, like you think when a human being dies, that's it. It's over. It's not. When that horse died and you could see its carcass and its bones and its remains all there, it continued to give back to Earth. It made the most fertile soil for the other horses to come and be nourished by. And I hear that like when someone passes, you know, we grieve the loss. Of course we do, because we miss them. But we also know that they continue to give to us. As long as you remember them, they're in you. They're a part of you. And they can live through you. What did Einstein say? Here's another Einstein quote. Energy can't be created nor destroyed. It just changes form. It's like you can, it's like that person's energy, that person's love and connection and life force is always here. It's always here. And so there isn't anything to fix or change. It's eternal. It's just literally allowing yourself to be. Like, what if we could change the stories?
Yeah. And I think that that's super powerful. The process there of allowing the process. And that's, I think, the thing that we, when we want to fix something, when someone's talking to us and we are, our mind starts to go into that mode of, okay, find the answer, find the answer, find the answer, find the answer, find the answer. And it just
fix
is
it,
that.
Fix it.
Exactly. We actually are working against ourselves because the mind, like you said, is just a collection of all of this stuff that's coming and going. And it's not the 90%, the iceberg, the underneath part. And dropping into that presence of, you know, like the mindfulness practice that we just gave, or just going and stopping and going into the feeling and going into that, oh, hold on, what if I didn't have an answer? What if I wasn't meant to fix it? What if I was just present and allowed space?
Yeah, going to invite everyone listening right now to even just hold that question to yourself. It's like, you know, what kind of emotion would be present if you totally could trust that you're in the right place at the right time in the right moment. There's nothing to figure out, nothing to fix, nothing to do, and that your life is literally evolving exactly how it needs to. Wouldn't you show up to life differently? To your relationship, to yourself, to your children, like everything. You just would show up completely differently.
You would. I had a powerful example of that with my own mom. She's been going through a lot physically, and that's a hard thing for me because it's probably a lot harder for her because she's the one who's going through it, right? And it's hard for me to hear the constant pain in her voice and the stuff that's going on. And because at one point I was able to stop and shift my own perspective on that, one of the things that I was able to do is share with her a what if of what if it's not your pain, Mom? What if it literally is that you're such a strong person and you came to this planet and you have the ability to take the pain on for some other people that they have so much pain they can't deal with it anymore. And you're actually, it's not that you've done something wrong and you need to fix yourself. It's that you've done something right and you're such a beautiful, strong being that you can do this, that this is something that you can actually process that. And when we had that conversation, it was one of the days, one of her worst days. And she had a moment of, I don't know that I can continue. And God, that like, you know, it that triggered me. And I was like, don't do that, Mom. What are you talking about? And then like, I was able to let go of that and just be okay. What if I didn't take that on for her and I could just be present myself? What would I share? Is there something to share? Can I just make space? And I did, I made space. And that's what I heard was like, there's so much more to this. It's not something to fix. And it, just sharing that with her made space for her. And the next day when I talked to her, she's like, oh, there's joy. I felt joy and I haven't felt joy in such a long time. And it was just such a beautiful shift. And it literally did come from a place of, like you said, of what if we were in the perfect place and it wasn't something that we did wrong? We always go to that, I did something wrong. I have to fix it. Instead, what if I did something right and it's perfect?
And listening. Listening to that space, that stillness.
It opens an entirely, entirely different story, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a saying, yeah. It's like the reason we have two ears and one mouth is because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. Mm-hmm. It makes me laugh, but isn't it true? It's like, what if I could just listen to this moment? Mm-hmm. What if I could be in the stillness, in the uncomfortability, in the pain? In the fear, if I could just be in it and just listen to what the inner guidance might be there for me without trying to fix or change or do or anything, what if I could just be in it?
And the fascinating thing about that is going back to that iceberg, when icebergs calve, they will flip and oftentimes they'll flip. And when we flip the story, we can see the 90% of the iceberg or that bigger piece. And what if just under that fear and that scared and that whatever that we can be present to, there's 90% of joy right behind it and it gets released. And one of the things that as we were talking earlier, we did some research and when an iceberg flips, it can give, what was it? The power of a nuclear reaction?
Yeah, of an atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb.
So, that's, I mean, that could be the power of love or the power of terrorism, depending on where you want to be, right? It's like
your perspective.
But it's the beingness. It's not about doing, it's not about fixing, because it happens. And you know, I come back to that part of like giving space, like you gave space to your mom just to like slow down your own thoughts and just allowed yourself, as you allowed yourself to just be with it, you gave her unconscious permission to be with hers. And in being with it, actually created that loving space with the power of the energy of an atomic bomb of love to allow the healing to begin. So there is no healers out there. They have just worked, not just, but they have lovingly cared for themselves enough to make that space so that when someone who's in need can enter that space, healing occurs because they're holding space for that own, for that person to find their love, to find their nuclear energy within themselves, to flip the script or flip the iceberg.
Yeah. And find all that energy. Who doesn't need more energy right now? One of the things that you said earlier is like, it's exhausting. We're so tired.
Yeah. I mean, if we're only looking at that 10% upside and like we're trying to ignore or squash or push down the iceberg underneath us, it's like, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, and what if you could just stop? Just stop.
And what are you tired of? And I think that so many of us are tired of this old way of doing things.
That's right. And we don't quite know what the new way is yet because we need to just be. We need to just let the incoming come in.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, we need to stop and create space. I use an example of this. It's like when you, because everyone's doing this right now, is ordering online. And we order online. And if we're not home, you know, what happens to the UPS angel that comes to deliver it is that they go knock, knock, knock. Oh, they're not here. They leave a note. They do that maybe two, usually it's the third time. They say, okay, I've come three times. Now you have to come to me because I'm tired. Because we're not home. And so to be present, to be home, to receive the gifts of your life, of your wisdom, of your soul, we need to be present. How do we do that? We just need to be with what is. Be with it, whether it's uncomfortable. Be with it, whether it's beautiful and loving, which, by the way, many of us can be quite uncomfortable with, of just allowing ourselves to receive the love that we are love. That it can sometimes be more uncomfortable than the word that we're not good enough because we're so conditioned to keep growing and being better and doing. What if you could just be and let the love in?
It is conditioning. It's total conditioning. And another Einstein quote is that you can't solve a problem from the same mind that created the same energy that created the same space, right? And that's what right now is so important in our culture. And we keep trying to solve the same problems from the same place. And this is an option of a different way of doing it. It hasn't worked the other way. And so why not give a new way a chance of letting it be, letting it evolve, letting it come to us? Because it can, as long as we allow the space for it and put the practice in of, you know, the mindfulness practice that I gave earlier. It doesn't just happen. You need to actually, one of my coaches said this the other day, like a practice isn't a practice if you do it once, right? A practice by definition is something that you do on a regular basis. So you do need to put the practice into this new way of being, of dropping in, of being present. And how do you do that? You just start doing it. You do 30 seconds a day. You do a minute a day. You build up to it, whether it's meditation or a mindfulness practice or a dropping in practice. You know, there's lots of stuff out there.
And when you're irritated or, you know, unsettled or distracted or frustrated, all those things, that's your flag to say it's time for practice.
Yeah. It's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
Absolutely. So I encourage everybody to take a moment this week and flip an iceberg. Release that energy, find the joy that's beneath it, and flip a script in your life. Ask yourself a question of like, is that true? Whatever it is that's running in your brain or that somebody else is telling you is like, hey, is that true? Or is there another way that I might be able to look at that? And then stop. Just drop in. Be present.
and tell yourself it's safe to just be, that you're holding space for truth and love to find you.
Yeah. And then allow it to flip and feel that atomic energy. Woohoo! Excellent. Well, we would love it if you would share your atomic stories in our Facebook group, share us with a friend, and if you're so inclined, give us a rating on your favorite podcast platform. That would be great. And we will see you all next week.
And that wraps up another episode of the Soulful Leader Podcast with your host, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to dive deeper, head over to our website at thesoulfulleaderpodcast.com.
Until next time.